bow your head this morning. Father, we're so grateful for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Come like a rushing wind. Light the fire again in people whose fire has grown cold, O God. Father, we know from the Word, it tells us and admonishes us to stir up the gift of God in us. So, Father, this morning we believe the purpose and the plan of Almighty God in our lives is being stirred. The working and the work of the Holy Spirit is pointing us to the finished work of Jesus. Father, today, let Jesus be magnified in us and through us in your great name. Can you say amen, everybody? Amen. Shake the hand of the person next to you. Go ahead and be seated. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that you're here this morning. Amen, 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 amen. We're in a series of lessons on Sunday morning called The Church. Come on, somebody say The Church. The church is the most important organization in the world. Not the Kiwanis Club, not a government power. It is the church of Jesus Christ. And we are excited, I'm excited, that many of you in here are hooked up with the church. Not just any church, but this church. Come on, can I get an amen? You know, I don't believe we can find from the Bible that God wants anybody floating from church to church. We believe that God calls us, what Psalm 92 tells us, is that you be planted in the church. If you're planted in the house of God, you will still be fat. Come on, somebody. And flourishing. I can deal with the flourishing. I'm not so concerned about the fat part. But the fat part means in the Bible that you got full of life, you got full of vitality, that you're producing things, that your life is working, that it's not just about you. It's not just about you getting your fix from God. But that you're connected in a body, in the church, iron sharpening iron, connected with one another, serving one another, praying for one another, being there for one another, holding one another up, the Bible says, that now when you're down, somebody else can lift you up. Now that your part that you have can be connected to somebody else, and it actually makes them stronger, and it makes you stronger as well. It's an amazing thing, the church. The church is the only thing for the last 2,000 years that keeps getting stronger. Every political empire, every place that we know from history, it's come, it's gone. The rulers, the leaders have come and they've gone. But there is one leader called Jesus Christ that is now working in your and my life. And come on, His rule and His authority is getting stronger and stronger. Can you say amen? We're glad that we're part of something eternal. Amen? Wow. Everything we've got in this life fades away, it rusts, it decays, you got to paint it, you got to fix it, you got to repair it. The church is something that's going to stand forever. Well, we're glad that you're here with us. We've been going for 3 weeks. This is our fourth week talking about the church. This will be our last message that we really talk about it right now and unhook, and we'll go in a little different direction next week. But notice on the screen a key scripture that we've been looking at every week from Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. We're kind of picking it up midstream, if you will, where Jesus comes to His disciples and He asks them, "Who do people say that I am?" If you remember, you've been with us, some people said Jeremiah, John the Baptist, you know, one of the prophets. And Jesus says, "But who do you say that I am?" And one of the guys, disciples, Peter, he says, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." And then Jesus talks to him about how he got in tap with that knowledge. It wasn't from his head, wasn't from a book. Jesus said, "My Father in heaven revealed that to you." So we've said before many times, I'll tell you again if you haven't heard it, the number one way that you are going to grow and understand who you are, who God is, who the enemy is, and what your plan is on the earth is number one, from the Bible. You are going to find your life in this thing called the Bible. The more you're in the book, the more the book will work in you. Number one, get in the book. Read it daily. Go online. Find a daily reading plan. But I would encourage you, find most of your reading in this part of the book, this end of the book. This is called the New Testament. This is called from the book of Acts, talks about the early church. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John talk about the work of Jesus, talk about His death, His burial, His resurrection, His miracles. But the Bible then talks about what we call the epistles. These were letters written to the church. If you will read those letters regularly, what God says that God now did in Christ will start working in you. You'll get an understanding of that. What we found out, what Jesus says to Peter, is called revelation. Things will begin revealed to you now who you are. what God's will and purpose is in your life while you're here on the earth. And that is all working in connection and connotation with you being hooked up with the church. Come on, poke your neighbor and say, get in the church. Come on, get in the church. Now poke your other neighbor and say, I'm here. Come on, what are you talking about? I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Look what he says here in verse 18. Jesus talking after Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Notice what he says. I say to you that you're Peter, and on this rock means this revelation, this knowledge you tapped into, this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. Amazing. This is the first time that we see Jesus ever mentioning, the first time in the Bible the word church is ever mentioned. The word church ever mentioned. First time right here. You know, no man thought about it. Jesus, as God, thought about this thing called the church. The church isn't a building. The church isn't just this structure off of 805. We call it, we say, we're going to church. That's what we talk about. I'm going to church on Sunday. I'm going to church. We talk like that. But how many know that everywhere we go, we're taking the church with us? So the church is really people. But the word church, we found out, the definition we found out weeks ago, means the called out or the summoned out of our house to a particular place. So we've been kind of pinpointed, and I've kind of been a little nasty, and I get it, but I'm trying to make the point and drive the point home. I've been a little nasty with it, but you can't be the church at home. You can only be the church connected. You and I can be a member of the church at home, but I cannot be the church connected at home. Because by definition, the church means those summoned out, those called out of their homes to a particular place to hear a particular thing. Can I get a better amen? Yeah. So, this is what we're talking about the last several weeks. So, we've been connected. We've been talking about how we get connected. We've been talking about what's going on in this local assembly. We've been talking about how we can all get all in. That if my hand, if I'm a member, what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, and this is my job assignment, how many know my job assignment will be greatly limited unless I've got an arm I'm connected to? And unless the arm's got a forearm, got an arm or a bicep, and got muscles and tissues and ligaments and tendons and arteries and veins and all the stuff that goes on in this intricate system of the body, God used the analogy of a physical body to then bring a spiritual dynamic to it to say the only way you're going to be fulfilled is connected in a local body, connecting with the church. And Jesus says the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, cannot prevail against this thing called the church. I guarantee it, if you will commit yourself to this local church, all I'm going to talk to you about is this local church. I don't know about any other local church, but I know this, if you will commit yourself, this doesn't mean slavery, this doesn't mean ball and chain, this doesn't mean, quote, serving and subservient to anybody. I'm talking about just connected with this local church, I believe the gates of hell will stop prevailing in your life. I know a lot of Christians that they're Christians, they're going to heaven, they love Jesus, but they never get connected in church because of various reasons, some good, some not good, some good, not good reasons, but they never get connected. Well, I got hurt in church. Well, how many know I've been hurt in marriage? But I still believe in marriage. I've been hurt working for people, but I still believe in working because I like a paycheck. Can I get an amen? Amen. So let's all be big boys and big girls. And say, in the church, can I tell you, you are going to get hurt, and you are going to get disappointed, and I'll probably be the first one to hurt you or disappoint you. I'll probably say something, I'll probably do something, and you got to help me, and I got to help you, and we all got to just love one another. Come on, somebody. Just love one another. Look what it says in the Amplified Bible. This is amazing. A couple different translations. Gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region shall not overpower the church. Be strong to its detriment. Hold out against it. New Living Translation. All the powers of hell will not conquer it. Conquer what? The church. Message Bible. This is the rock, Jesus says, on which I'll put together my church. A church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. It sounds like this thing called the church is pretty powerful. It sounds like this just isn't some kind of little thing we do on a Sunday morning because we don't know what else to do until football comes on. Come on, everybody. So, listen, look on the screen. Got a couple thoughts for you. You might want to write them down, jot them down. Jesus is speaking about an active and aggressive body destroying demonic works. That's what he's talking about. an active and an aggressive body destroying demonic works. That's what he's saying. The church reminds the devil, look on the screen, the church reminds the devil, you're defeated, we're in charge, and we're taking over. Come on, this is what goes on here on a Sunday morning. You just praise God, and believe me, every demon in hell around Chula Vista is going, dear God, let's get out of here. The church reminds the devil, you're defeated, we're in charge, and we're taking over. You're not taking over my family, you're not taking over my mind, you're not taking over my body, you're not taking over my future, you are defeated. Can I get an amen in here? Yeah. That's what we do with the devil. The Bible says keep him under your feet. Keep him under your feet. Squash him. Squash him. Just keep him under there. The church, the Bible says, Jesus is the head. And now you are and I are connected in the body, the church. And we are enforcing the devil's defeat. What Jesus did, we are now enforcing it. We're saying no more. You're not doing that anymore. I'm putting my foot down with my family. I'm putting my foot down. You're not going to bring those images back in my mind any longer. I'm going to renew my mind to the Word of God. I'm going to be victorious because that's the price that Jesus Christ paid for me. Can I get an amen in the house? Awesome. Ephesians 3. Look on the screen. Amazing scripture here. We could read this whole chapter of 3 of Ephesians, but notice just this one part, verse 8 through 10. Ephesians 3, 8 through 10. I'll be reading the New Living Translation. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, Apostle Paul's writing this. He, God, graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. Amazing. Paul says to himself, I'm the least deserving. Remember, Paul says, I persecuted the church. I was dragging people out. I locked them in jail. And he says here, as he's writing to the church at Ephesus, I'm the least deserving. And so listen to me. Maybe you're just like Paul. Maybe you feel this morning, I'm the least deserving. You don't know me. You really don't know who I am. And can I tell you, what I know about as a pastor, everybody in the room has a story. And everybody in the room, to some degree or not, you're still working on getting your story lined up with God's story. Meaning, we're all trying to get on the same page with God. If this is what He says about me, to be holy, blameless, in love, redeemed, sanctified, pure, righteous, forgiving, you know, not condescending, all those things, we're still all in progress. We're still moving down the train track. Paul says here, I'm the least deserving. I'm the least deserving. But he tells us here, I've been given, notice these words, the privilege of telling Gentiles, people who don't know Jesus, about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. Do you know that you have been given the privilege of telling people about Jesus Christ? Regardless of your hang-ups, regardless of your fears, regardless if you got all your act together, that is not the point. The point is to let the power of God, the Word of God, that you hear here and you read during the week, come through your mouth to help people find Jesus Christ. Regardless of what you've done in the past, regardless of how whatever checkered your past is, or if you feel like you got it all together or not, that is not the issue. Can I tell you, you got yourself enough together to help somebody else point them to Jesus. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I want to encourage you to do something. Everybody's got a smartphone. Come on, you got a smartphone? You got a smartphone today? Get your smartphone out. Everybody, hold your smartphone now. You got a smartphone? Lift it up. Come on, everybody. If you got a dumb phone, just keep it in your pocket. Because we don't want to just... Come on, lift it. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to show you something. Come on, everybody on a smartphone right now, go to Spectrum Church. Come on, do it right now. SpectrumChurch.org/reach. SpectrumChurch.org. Everybody's got a smartphone. SpectrumChurch.org/reach. Reach. Here's what we're going to be doing. Next week, I'm going to be talking about just how we're going to reach people. Come on, everybody look around. We're getting full in here, aren't we, huh? Come on. We're going to be having to go to 2 services here pretty soon. And we want your friends. We want your neighbors. We want to reach the people you're talking to. We want to help you and aid you in one way that we really can, which is that we can pray for them. So under spectrumchurch.org/reach, you'll be able to go to this, what it says right there. And as you click on that, it's going to show you and take you to this right here. It's going to say, reaching our families, friends, and coworkers. If you'll submit the names of your friends, families, and coworkers below, then join us next week, Sunday, next Sunday, the 7th. We're going to corporately pray in this service for all your friends, all your coworkers, all your family. So you'll put their names down right there. I think the next link it'll show us. You can put up to five names. It'll say name, first name, last name. Would you like to submit a second name? Click yes if you would. When you hit submit, it'll automatically go up and you'll have another screen. You can click up to five names on there. Put five names of people that don't know Jesus. And what's going to happen is during the service, when we're preaching, we're going to have those names back here on the screen. And we're going to take a time during the service and we're going to call out the people that you're concerned about. We're going to call out your dad and your mom and your brother and your sister. And we're going to call out the names of the people that are around you at work. We're going to call out the names of the guy that you get coffee from all the time at Dunkin' Donuts or down at the 7-Eleven. We're going to call out their name and we're going to believe God, they get saved. Amen. So help us. Help us. Help us. What I've come to realize is that so many times it's almost like we think somebody else is going to get the job done. It's almost like we think, you know, well, gosh, I'm just not good enough. You don't know my past, and you don't know what I'm dealing with. Yet Paul says this in verse 9 of this Ephesians 3:9. He says, I was chosen to explain to everyone the mysterious plan that God, the Creator of all things, has kept secret from the beginning. He chose me. God chose me to explain this thing. And I think that we think somebody else is going to kind of show up and going to come in my workplace and somebody's going to get saved. Can I tell you? You are the person somebody's praying to go reach that person. You are the person. You are the man. You are the woman. You're the teenager at school. You're the person at the track team. You're the person in the dance studio. You are the one. You are the one. I just think that we're thinking somebody's going to pop out of the sky, Superman's going to appear, Batman's going to save the day. Mm-mm. It's us. It's us. The church connected. The church empowered. The church with authority. The church with boldness. Taking what we learn here and going out and making an eternal difference in our community everywhere we go. Notice what Paul says here in verse 10. God's purpose. Here's God's purpose in all this. Was to use the church. Come on, somebody say the church. To display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. God, His purpose was to use the church. God is using the church, it says, to display His wisdom. Notice what He's doing. Display His wisdom to all unseen rulers. All heavenly rulers. Listen to me. Good heavenly rulers and evil heavenly rulers. Godly angels, demonic spirits. God is using and desires to use you and me to display God's amazing plan of salvation. That cranks my tractor, let me tell you. That gets me excited that God is going to use me. God knows my hang-ups. He knows my issues. He knows my fears. He knows my worries. He knows what I'm dealing with. He knows where you've been. And He says, I still want to use you. I want to use the church to display. You know, anytime I go to a store and I'm not quite sure what's going on in the store, I always go by the window to see if I like the window. If I like the window, chances are I might want to go in the store. If I'm shopping for certain kind of clothes, if I go by and I'm going to the mall, I go, no, man, that's not for me. That's not for me. I'm not even going to go in there. Can I tell you, your life is to be a display like in a window. Where people now look at your life and go, "Ooh, I don't know, I heard about the church, but you sure don't look like what I heard. You look happy. You look full of joy. You talk about church. You're full of life." Can I tell you, you are on display. So let your light shine. Come on, somebody. Let's talk about more and more how you can let your light shine in the daily marketplace, wherever you're at, that you can be aggressively friendly in reaching people for Jesus Christ. Amen? I read something, a quote. Let me read this to you. Jesus calls Satan, listen to me now, the ruler of this world. Understanding this fact, we are not wise to attribute to God anything of the disorder of our confused, sin-riddled, diseased, tragedy-ridden, and tormented planet. The present evil age lies under the sway of the evil one. But Jesus said a day is coming where Satan will be ultimately cast down. Now notice on the screen, until the time of Christ's return, the church has been given all authority from Jesus to release people from Satan's hold and dominion. And you now, listen to me, you are anointed, you're called, you're enabled by God to put on display the power of God, the Word of God, the love of God, the peace of God. Come on, clap if you're going to clap. The joy of God. Come on. You put on display through your life what it is for a man and woman to lose a child and still love Jesus. To go bankrupt and still come to church and believe in tithing. To have kids that have been on drugs and still going through the torment of that and still having hope and confidence that God's a good God and He'll bring restoration. You're on display. You're on display all the time. You're in my life. But understanding that the devil's real, we understand that. We understand that. He's coming to do exactly what the Bible says, kill, steal, and to destroy. But now, we've got to understand that the church, you, connected with one another, have been empowered to bring an end to His rule and His dominion in your life. No more. Come on, everybody. No more. No more. I put my foot down. Jesus said something. One of the disciples or one of the men came to Him and said, what's the greatest commandment? Remember what Jesus said? Love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus called that the great commandment. But then also, He talked about this thing at the end of Mark chapter 16 and Matthew chapter 28 called what we call the Great Commission. And with all my heart, I believe that the Great Commission is fulfilled by us understanding the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment says, guys, people in the church, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love Him with everything within you. And then also, just don't let it be a vertical love. Let it be a horizontal love. Love your neighbor as yourself. And when you do that, then you enable God to work through you to fulfill the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Where then you can lay hands on the sick and they recover. Where you preach the gospel and you see people set free and delivered by satanic strongholds. And if you don't think they're real, if you don't think they're around, come on, where you been living? It's around everywhere. Look on the screen. It says in Matthew, in one translation, in Mark chapter 16, that Jesus said, God has authorized and commanded me to commission you. Notice those words. God has authorized me and commanded me to now commission you. He told that through His disciples. And listen to me. I believe with all my heart, He's telling it to every single one of us in the church today. You have been authorized. You have been authorized by God to be God's agent everywhere you go. You received a command now to let your light shine, to do kingdom business. You have been co-missioned to follow His mission. His mission. We are under submission to His mission. My mission is sub to His mission. My mission is not to just buy a house, get a vacation home, and retire at 65. My mission now is sub to Him, that He wants to rule and reign in my life and see His kingdom come on the earth as it is in heaven. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, I'm wondering if the disciples got this, because it sure seems like they did. It sure seems like even after Jesus left, the disciples were confused. They were fearful. Thomas, of course, was doubting. So that tells me that God has left the assignment of continuing on the plan of Jesus with men, or we would even say women, who weren't quite certain about all this that happened for the last 3.5 years. So if you're one of them, as I'm sure all of us are at a time or two in our life, going, I don't know exactly what God's doing in my life. I don't know exactly how God could use me. Can I tell you the great news is that God wants to use you right where you're at, in regardless of what you think you can do or what you think you can't do. Jesus has commissioned you, He's authorized you, and He's commanded you to be a difference maker everywhere you go. That is the gospel. It's the gospel. The distinguishing difference we found out with these disciples was after Jesus left, and they got filled with the Holy Spirit. We found out that these disciples got something that was totally different than they had before. They were almost what we'd say baptized with boldness. They weren't baptized with meanness. They weren't baptized with holding up signs and shouting people down. They were baptized with confidence. They were baptized with the Spirit. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. And they made differences everywhere they went. And people were attracted to them. I believe the church should be the most attractive place that anybody ever wants to go. And God help us if we don't make it that way. God help us as that people window shopping and the church on display to go, I don't want to look in there, it smells. I don't want to look in there, it's all old. I don't want to look in there, it's just terrible. There's no enthusiasm, there's no life. Our lives ought to be on display constantly, and of course they are, and the Holy Spirit helps us allow the peace of God, the purity of God, the joy of God come through us all the time. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the Old Testament, there's kind of a type and a shadow, if you will, of somebody who was a little bit timid, or a lot of bit timid, and definitely a little bit backward concerning God's call. It's that guy Gideon. We talked about him before, but just remind yourself of this. If you haven't read it, just write down a note, maybe the book of Judges, chapter 6. It starts talking about this guy. This guy's hiding. The enemy keeps oppressing them. And the whole nation's in hiding, really, because they've been against God. They've kind of not followed God. And so the enemy's coming and just running heyday over them. It's terrible. But then all of a sudden, God shows up with this guy called Gideon. And he calls him a mighty man of valor. And he starts talking to him about what God's plan is for his life. And he calls him. And I got to stop here for just a second and just encourage you. Or just maybe exhort you. I believe everybody in the room this morning has been called by God. Everybody has an assignment on their life. Whether you're enjoying it or not, walking it or not, and you're maybe taking steps in it, or maybe you've just completely shut the door to it. God wants to talk to you, and God wants to call you, and His Word wants to speak to you. Even in a fearful situation, even in negative circumstances, as this guy Gideon finds himself. We see that Gideon heard the call, and it was amazing. The first thing he did when he got the Word of God, he went out to where his dad was worshiping false idols. And the whole countryside was full of idolatry. And Gideon went and tore down all the false idols. We'd say he got all the sin out. He dealt with sin in himself. He dealt with sin in the land. And the Bible then goes on to say that he did something crazy. Here's a timid guy. He all of a sudden gets a trumpet, gets a ram's horn. And he blows a ram's horn. And anybody in the nation of Israel, when a ram's horn's being blown, it means a call to assemble together. And all of a sudden, all these men that heard that ram's horn, all of a sudden came together, and those were the guys God was going to use to turn a nation. It was people that heard a call, were summoned out of their house, and assembled together. One person. You. You heard a call, got full of the Holy Ghost, and started blowing a trumpet, started lifting up their voice. And God connects you in a body. God connects you with people so that you can do something amazing. Come on, God's doing something amazing in here right now, I believe with all my heart. Matthew 11, come on, stick with me a few more minutes before the watermelon gets hot. Come on, somebody. We're going to have some cold watermelon out there. I like that cold watermelon. When you bite it, your teeth hurt. Come on, somebody. Do we have that Mexican stuff you put on it? What is that stuff called? What is it called? That's what I'm talking about. Come on, somebody. I love this culture down here. I can't speak a lick of it, but I love what you all eat. Come on, somebody. Woo, help me, Jesus. I love it. Matthew 11. Look at this now. Long passage, so look on the screen, verse 7 through 17. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John the Baptist, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What did you go out to see?" Three questions. "A prophet? Yes, I say to you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it's written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of a woman, there's not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And all the prophets and the law prophesied until John the Baptist. And if you're willing to receive it, he, John the Baptist, is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But what shall I liken this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you and you didn't dance. We mourned for you and you didn't lament. Guys, this passage is an amazing 8 verses or so of dialogue on who Jesus now says about who John the Baptist, what his role was, Elijah, what his role was, and now the state of what we'd call the kingdom, or we'd even say the church. Pre-church, Jesus would call the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Look what it says in Matthew 11:12 on the screen. Here's what Jesus said. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Notice, by definition, notice on the screen, the church is forcefully advancing and forceful men lay hold of it. The church isn't backing down. The church isn't getting weaker or weaker. I'm talking about the church universal, the church of Jesus Christ, and this church as well. It's forcefully advancing and forceful men and women are laying hold of it. The church, which Jesus set up, is a powerful movement that requires men to be equally violent in attacking demonic opposition. Jesus says, this isn't a reed blowing in the wind. You didn't go out in the wilderness and saw John the Baptist blowing without roots going down and a voice going up. And a voice that calls out in the wilderness and causes men and women to then come out of their houses to Him. God is doing something amazing. And He's doing it right here, right now. The kingdom advances in victory by violent spiritual conflict and warfare. That's what Jesus says. Not violence against people, not harm against people, violence against the working, the tactics of the enemy. When I was in about 6th grade, there was a guy named Brad, and Brad was just a bully. He was a bully. And I was a skinny little white kid, you know. I didn't like to fight. I'm in grade school, and I'm just trying to get along with everybody. I really don't like school. I'm not a school guy, but I'm just a peacemaker. I really don't, you know. I'm not trying to fight anybody. But Brad started pushing my buttons. I can't remember everything, you know. I was only 12, so that's a long time ago. That's, you know, 40 some years ago. I don't remember the details. But all I remember this, I've got a picture in my mind that somehow Brad just pushed my buttons too many times, and in school, I was on top of Brad, and I was getting ready to, I was on him, and I was getting ready to just clock him out. And some teacher was there, grabbed me, and of course the principal, and my mom and my dad and everything, but can I tell you something? I was tired of getting pushed around. And I don't know how long you plan on getting pushed around and staying steady. But I would encourage you, you need to just put your feet down and say, I need to exert some violence against the demonic assault in my life. And Jesus says, this is what the church needs to do and not allow the enemy to push it around any longer. Listen, Jesus talked about the non-religious style of John the Baptist and the confrontive miracle ministry of Elijah. Jesus asked, what did you go out to see? A man in soft clothing? So what Jesus is saying here, listen, is the church isn't soft, the church isn't weak, the church isn't effeminate, the church is to be bold and aggressive against every demonic stronghold. And when Satan tries to come move in your life, if you're connected with somebody else, they are to join with you and see the demise of every satanic power. But if you're not connected, it's tough to beat the devil by yourself at home watching reruns of Barney. You need to get connected. Come on, somebody, help me this morning. Amen. Jesus tells them what the generation was like, and God help us because I see this in our generation. He tells them what the generation was like. Listen to Jesus' words. Children sitting and playing in the marketplace. Jesus says the church isn't to be a place where all we get is entertained. He says, we played the flute and you didn't dance. But He also says the church isn't to be dead either. We mourned and no one was sorrowful. So when we come to church, maybe you were in the church before, this other church, whatever it was, and all it was sorrowful and people crying, and you came to church and the pastor beat the tar out of you, and you felt condemned, and you felt guilty, and you felt guilt-ridden, and you came in week after week. God bless you for doing that. I don't know how you did it. Or maybe you were at a church and it was all entertainment. It was fluff and puff and there's this candy. There's just cotton candy. You're good. Everybody's going to heaven. Do whatever you want to do. Live however you want to live. Sleep with whoever you want to sleep. It's all good. God loves you. Wow. Jesus says, the church is to be bold and aggressive. The church is to be a mighty moving force. The church is to attack demonic opposition in people's lives that come against the will and the purpose of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So when we come together and assemble, and I've been sensing, like I said, for about the last 8 weeks in a new way here, and it's evident in a lot of people's lives and the testimonies we're hearing. When we come and gather to hear, there is a corporate power that gets unleashed. Come on, somebody. The corporate power, us connecting, us be informed and fashioned. The blood of Jesus cleansing us from all sin. And we're just connected to one another. And all of a sudden, there's like a heaviness lifts off. And the Spirit of God and the plan of God and the will of God and the clarity of God just becomes more crystallized in all of our lives. It happens when you're connected in the church. Now, real quick, before we go, I want to just take a couple of minutes and show you real quick how you connect with that. I'm a practical guy. Okay, power of God, connect. How do I do that? How do I get more God kind of working in me? How do I get connected with what God's doing, His assignment in my life? Look with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark 11, verse 22 and 23. This is the ingredient that gets you connected to the power. Jesus said to them, come on, read those four words with me, will you? Have faith in God. Let's say that about three times. Come on. Have faith in God. Come on, one more time. Have faith in God. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. No, I'm going to tell you.
Have faith in God.
I got a bad report from the doctor. No time. No, what I'm going to do when you call me. No, I'm going to say.
Have faith in God.
My kid ran a wave last night. Took the dog. Know what I'm going to say? Have faith in God. Those four words are the start of how your life is going to see the power of God and the will of God begin to be unleashed in your life. Jesus then said this, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes the things that he says will be done, he or she will have whatever he says. Your words, your belief, connect you with an unseen God. Your words, your belief, connect you with an unseen power. Your words, your belief, cause mountains and obstacles and demonic strongholds in your life and your family to be broken and shattered. Your words, your life, start things and stop things. Your words and your actions, your words and your belief, they'll cause things to be open, cause things to be shut. God has given you kingdom authority and kingdom power. Everybody in the room, you've got it. All you've got to do is exercise it.
Amen.
Exercise it. Well, I don't even know the books of the Bible. That's not what we're talking about. Do you know how to operate the key? I give you, remember, the keys of the kingdom. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. If you can take a key and just turn the key, you've got the access the same way it is in the realm of the Spirit to stop the devil and to allow the plan of God to become moving in your life. Come on, poke your neighbor and say, get it this morning. Come on, get it this morning. One more scripture real quick. Luke 10. Let's read this a little bit more. Al or whoever's back there, let's read a little bit more of that. Let me just back up to verse 17, I think. Let's look at that. Luke 10, I think it's verse 17. Can we do that? Let's get that one off out. Can we go back and do something else? Let's go to New King James, verse 17, I think. Luke 10. There we go. The 70 returned. Jesus sent out 70 people, and they returned with joy. Notice this. They said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Come on, somebody. Say, praise the Lord. Jesus hadn't even raised from the dead yet. He said, okay, any violent aggression, any forceful attack of the enemy, they said, the demons are subject to us in your name. Keep reading verse 18. Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I saw, Jesus says, Satan. Now, most people believe, most theologians believe, Jesus is speaking about in times past, whenever that was, that Satan and a third of the angels, Lucifer and a third of the angels, tried to rebel against God. And God kicked them out of heaven. And Jesus says here, I saw him fall like lightning. And can I tell you today? He's still a fallen angel. He's still fallen. Let's read what Jesus said here. Behold now, here we go. Jesus talking to you. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy and nothing. Come on, somebody say nothing. Come on, don't make me go 80s on you. Nothing from nothing means nothing. But you gotta have that. Come on now. Nothing. 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 Come on, somebody. Nothing. Nothing. Come on, somebody. Nothing. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hurt you. Hurt you. Hurt you. I've been through lots of stuff. Not as much as some. More than others. But looking back over my life, I'm able to say, nothing has hurt me in my relationship with God that I'm still here today. And the enemy is still defeated. Everything in my life hasn't turned out like I thought. People have come, people have gone, stuff happened, stuff I thought should have happened, would have happened, could have happened, didn't happen. Stuff I thought God would have done, should have done, could have done, He didn't do. But can I tell you something? Nothing has hurt me in my relationship with God. And I bet you still got that testimony too. All authority has been given. All power, it says in what it tells us right there. All authority to trample on serpents, scorpions. Serpents bite, scorpions sting. Serpents bite, scorpions sting. Words of the enemy that try to bite you. Deeds of somebody that try to hurt you. I've given you authority over it all. The divorce tried to bite you. The divorce tried to sting you. I give you authority to trample on that and to walk in victory. The job that got cut off and the lies that they spread tried to bite you and tried to sting you. But I give you power and authority over all those works, and nothing shall by any means be able to harm or hurt you. Connected in the church with Jesus Christ as the head. As the head. What flows from the head flows through the body. Stay connected. You've been given kingdom authority and rule and dominion and power available to all. Regardless of age or race or how long you've been doing what you've been doing, the minute you're born again, you get a set of keys. Keys to open up any and every door. Any and every door. It's been given to the church. Come on, somebody say amen. Can you give God just praise this morning? Amen to that. Amen to that. Amen to that. Stand up, everybody, with me. Would you do that this morning? Stand up. Next few minutes, we're going to dismiss you. We're going to ask you to get your kids. Hang out with us for a few minutes with Life on the Patio. We just want to get to know you. Have fun. It's Labor Day weekend. Hopefully, a lot of you don't have to work tomorrow. Get a chance to just hang out. But before we go, we want to give anybody the opportunity that you're here. You say, you know, Pastor Gary, I'm not even connected with the church. I don't even know who this Jesus is, really. But I've been sensing something in my heart since I've been here this morning. Maybe you've heard about Jesus. You've never given your life fully. Even as we sang a song this morning, over and over, I have decided to follow Jesus. Maybe you're there going, I really couldn't sing that song because I really haven't decided. But during the service, you made a choice, made a switch, made a decision. Something happened right while you're seated. The Spirit of God started working on your heart during the worship time. Maybe somebody shook your hand and just was kind to you this morning. Maybe God started working in your heart. I hope so. Our prayer in this church is that if people come, they don't leave the same. Somehow the Word, the worship, the Spirit of God, relationships begin to form and forge in people's lives. And demonic strongholds just leave. Just leave. This morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Jesus said, I am the door. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. The only way to the Father is by me. You don't go to God the Father by your good works or your good deeds. You don't go to God the Father by praying to a certain man or a certain woman. You don't go to God the Father by joining a religious group. The only way you get a chance to have an audience with God is by and through the person.